Welcome to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us as Deb talks with her guests, experts in their fields, as they share real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And as you know, we are right smack in the middle of our career services program, or our career learning, training, all of those various things that we need to be as successful as possible in our career. And of course, I always think that LinkedIn is one of the critical things that you need. So I'm so excited today to have our guest on. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Karen Gurney to our program today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Deb.
Well, yeah, we'll jump into it a little bit more, but first let me tell people a little bit about you. So Dr. Karen Gurney is the director of Outplacement for Career IQ and is a sought-after international keynote speaker to multinational corporations, universities, professional associations, and entrepreneurial groups seeking to leverage LinkedIn networking to expand professionally. Dr. Gurney uses her doctorate in workforce and economic development, an MBA, and over a decade of talent management consulting experience to create best-selling books and classes, serving over 15,000 students and readers globally. In 2017, Dr. Gurney's book, Stacked, Double Your Job Interviews, Leverage Recruiters, and Unlock LinkedIn, achieved Amazon's Hot New Trending status, a number one ranking across three categories, and the top 1% of book sales. So holy schmoly, you can see why I'm so excited to have you on our program. So again, Dr. Gurney, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Perfect, perfect. Well, let's just jump into this, let's start with why you decided that this was going to be your passion in life.
Actually, people were coming to me. Mm-hmm. Starting in about 2004. I know sometimes people are wondering what they should pursue as an entrepreneur.
Right.
And one thing to look at is, are people calling you for something,
right,
some type of advice, some type mm-hmm. of services? So they were coming to me. And in my MBA program, I actually counseled someone who was originally from Colombia on how to get a job in the United States. Mm-hmm. And she was successful in making that transition, even as a non-visa'd immigrant, which is very tough
right
now, if you know anything about
mm-hmm. right.
what's
mm-hmm.
going on. But she told me at that time, you'll never do this for free again. And she started sending clients to me. And from that period of time, through the end of my PhD program, 2012, I was coaching on mm-hmm. the side while I was pursuing my PhD.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started really diving into it 100%, and I started systematizing, and it's one of the things you do with a PhD is create repeatable processes.
Mm-hmm.
And I created a class, which I put out on Udemy, and I'm such a fan. I should do affiliate marketing with Udemy. And I was so successful with that class, and I got so much feedback that I developed the book and released the book right for the hiring season, January 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hit number one in my three categories and hot new trending on Amazon. I had a really successful launch. And since then, I've been going around and talking to different professional associations and different groups about how to leverage LinkedIn for networking, which can be used for entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
and as well as for job seeking individuals.
Right. And as I mentioned at the start of the program, I love LinkedIn, and I think it is an absolute must for any business professional. Let's just be honest about that. If you are working, you probably should have a LinkedIn profile. And, it's even for retired folks. It's funny. I talk with people who have become great mentors because they have a LinkedIn profile. But, it really is very diverse in what it's used for. And I think the problem still is with LinkedIn that many people think it's only for a job search, and the only thing you do is cut and paste your resume. So let's just kind of start at the beginning, because clearly, the sales of your book and all of the other LinkedIn training programs and books and things like that show that LinkedIn is something that people recognize they need to use. but they don't use it properly. It's probably the easiest way to do it. So, let's really start at the beginning. Why shouldn't someone just cut and paste their resume into LinkedIn and go, okay, I'm done now?
Well, I think the important thing to think about is that LinkedIn is not necessarily your resume. It's more like your brochure.
Right.
So it needs to be targeted towards a campaign. And sometimes job seekers don't think about their work as a campaign. That's more of a marketing term. Mm-hmm. But getting a job is a sales process. You develop a pipeline and you attract certain people to you. So I am changing my profile all the time. Mm-hmm. I'll decide to run a campaign. Maybe I'll pitch Stacked. I also have a back to work mom. Maybe I'll focus on the moms in May. Or, you know, I have an accounting and finance class. Maybe I'll focus on those professional associations. I changed my profile and I did an international tour too, because LinkedIn is really great. I know you said at least 30% of your listeners are international, for helping internationals tap the North American market.
Well, and I believe the stats are that half of the users of LinkedIn are not in the United States.
They're not. They're not. Although the highest penetration definitely is North America. Mm-hmm. They've opened up a lot of offices and they're really focused on Paris right now, but they have a big focus on a push in Europe. Mm-hmm. And then they keep expanding outward. And there is a lot of confusion about the platform and what it can be used for. I was actually just in India and I spoke to some women in tech professionals there. And in addition, I stayed at a wonderful resort and I was telling the resort owner that he really should be using LinkedIn to attract mm-hmm. his target market. And he was like, no, that's for job acquisition. I said, no, it's for marketing. Mm-hmm. It's another piece of your marketing campaign that I feel like he's really missing out on. So it really is clearing up this concept of you can do marketing on Facebook, you can do it on Instagram, you can do it on LinkedIn.
Right.
And it's not necessarily paid advertising we're talking about here. It's talking about leveraging the existing network there and accessing it to, you know, achieve whatever your campaign goals are.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I do a lot of training for folks in the job market. And, you know, obviously I talk a lot about LinkedIn. And one of the things I tell them is exactly what you're saying. I tell them the product that you're selling is you. And we go through this process and a lot of them go, that's a lot of work. That's going to take a lot of time. Oh, do I do a good whine? And I tell them, If you're wanting, you know, a job that pays minimum wage that, you know, you're not really going to go far in, sure, don't put a lot of effort in it. But when you're building your career, your job search should be thought of as your job. You know, maybe you're not going to spend 8 hours a day on it, but you do need to spend more than 15, 20 minutes every week or so.
Well, yes. And the campaign, there's some quick shortcuts around it. The campaign that I teach in the Stacked book is about 10 hours mm-hmm. per week mm-hmm. to implement. And the more you implement it and the better you get it refined, right. the faster it is to implement. But you're right. There is a time frame that does have to be invested to achieve any campaign goal. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's true.
Right. Well, and, you know, you mentioned 10 hours, whether that's, you know, kind of chunked up as to, you know, a couple hours a day or whatever. You know, it really is worth that time and effort. And, you know, it's that old saying, you get out of it what you put into it. You know, if you spend 15 minutes every couple of weeks on LinkedIn, or, you know, or like so many people, and they went once and then they've never really gone back to LinkedIn, you know, you do get out of it what you put into it. If you are truly looking for a job, and you want to use, now, you know, LinkedIn shouldn't be the only part. You know, we're not saying that, but, you know, but you need to spend a lot of time in that job search. And it's tricky, especially if you're currently employed or you're a student or things like that. So you kind of have to juggle some things around. But, you know, initially, especially, it takes a big time commitment. And then, it can taper off a bit. But, you know, this is not something, folks, that you go in and, as I said, cut and paste your resume and then you never go back.
Right. Especially when you're in the midst of a campaign and developing something really targeted is mm-hmm. it will take a little bit of time, but the payoff is worth it. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about in the beginning of the book, I had a digital marketing person that came to me that only had 24 connections. Mm-hmm. And
And he's a digital marketing person.
I hope everybody gets that when they read the bits of the book, because it really was horrifying. His profile image was really bad. Mm-hmm. And obviously the level of connections was not there. His industry setting was not right. His headline was really bad. I mean, everything about the profile was bad. And it was no wonder that the LinkedIn profile was not serving him. And here's the other issue, Deb, which I'm sure you tell people about when you talk, is your hiring manager. So if you do a direct apply with your resume, and let's say your resume is great, mm-hmm. they are going to Google or go on LinkedIn and they're going to search your name. And LinkedIn has really good search engine optimization, right. meaning if you search by a first and last name, LinkedIn profile and Facebook are the two things that are going to pop up mm-hmm. first for a person's name. So they're going to find you. They're going to look at that profile. And if it doesn't match up with what's on the resume, or if it's not high quality, then they're going to bypass that candidate.
Right.
So it's important to know that that's called social proof, and that your hiring managers are going to do social proof. And a lot of times when you're doing a campaign, you'll notice that they want a link to your LinkedIn profile. Mm-hmm. They right. want to see you. I mean, that's mm-hmm. whether that's the right thing or not, from a equal opportunity commission type of mm-hmm. thing, and whether or not they are going to check it, and we need to make sure it looks good. So with that guy, I did a connection campaign, and he actually achieved 4 to 5 interviews in 1 week mm-hmm. without applying for a job, just from his online connection campaign.
Wow.
And he beat the 500 threshold. I mean, we were connected over 500 in under 5 days. And it really helped me understand the power. I had never done a campaign on that scale before. Mm-hmm. I would make sure the profile looked good from the social proof perspective. I would do some networking, mm-hmm. but I never reach out in mass like that. And that's what's changed my business and why I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. Because this is a powerful tool now. I use it all the time. I never take a client without running a campaign, not just correcting their profile, but literally running a campaign and connecting with the right target market.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and one of the things that we want to point out is it's so important to keep your LinkedIn profile active and current, even if you're not looking for a job. You know, you might love where you are, but you're not looking for something. But it's so important because, you know, other people look at it, as you mentioned. And you never know when a recruiter might stumble upon you and go, ooh, this sounds like somebody we want to reach out to.
LinkedIn is a primary source of passive recruiting. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to, like you said, and we want to present the image of what we think our next step is. Even, mm-hmm. like you said, if we're not looking right now, that's important. And then the other thing is, a lot of my job candidates have multiple interests. I'm sure you see this all the time. Right. So sometimes I'll have a candidate, we've done a campaign, they've got the job they want, and now we're changing for two different reasons. One, I have a salesperson in Australia, actually. I have a lot of international clients, too, from this book. Mm-hmm. And once he got the sales job, we actually changed so that when he's doing prospecting with his leads, that they're seeing what they need. It's a totally right. different profile.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they want to know what he's like as the salesperson for that organization.
Yes. And then the other thing is, I have another candidate that we're about to close on his job, and he wants to start working the professional speaking circuit about IT evangelism. And we're going to change his profile the moment he gets his job, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So it really serves so many purposes. We can look at it as, okay, what's the next step after this job, and really make our profile represent the next step. Mm-hmm. And also, maybe we have a side business, or maybe we got a job in sales and we need that to represent what our prospecting needs to see.
You know, and you mentioned next step. It could be internally within the company that they are, you know, that's currently employed, right. or it could be, you know, like we said, another one of those passive searches where a recruiter, where an HR person, you know, has done a search for somebody, and they go, oh, wow. You know, and I've talked to several people who have had that happen to them, where they love their job. They're not looking for something. You know, it's meeting all their needs. You know, they, like I said, they love their job, and then they get that call. The, you know, we know you love your job, but call. You know, and some of them have taken those calls and have actually changed jobs or at least interviewed. Some of them have said, you know, thank you, but no thank you. And of course, it's always nice to know that you're loved and wanted. But, you know, it is so important to keep your LinkedIn profile current and active. We just can't say that enough.
Well, and there's something else right where you started this that I want to talk about. LinkedIn networking is an introvert's dream.
Right.
Because one thing that, once again, I'm sure sometimes you and I are preaching to the choir because we know these things, but your company, your managers, your upper managers, your skip level managers, the ones that are the managers of your managers, they don't know what you're doing. And mm-hmm. you can actually network within the company, capture and communicate your values, mm-hmm. and network within your own company and right. get on their radar without mm-hmm. ever going to those, you know, being, I don't know, schmoozy or whatever the mm-hmm. word is. Like uncomfortable networking where you're trying to bump into them in the cafeteria.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, so tell me what's going on new in your department, Fred.
Exactly. So uncomfortable. But that form of networking can allow you to maybe find mentors and champions, which is so critical. Mm-hmm. Especially, I have a lot of minority candidates from women to, you know, different races and different origins. Mm-hmm. They have to have this champion and mentor. Everyone really should have one, but this is critical for the next step and just a way to network to find. That's a campaign. It's mm-hmm. another campaign goal. Like, right. okay, I need to find a champion in this organization that's not my boss, but the level above my boss or mm-hmm. maybe in a different department and start networking with those people via LinkedIn and start a conversation.
Right. You know, and it is something that I think so many people are hesitant to do. You know, I don't want to connect with people in my company because then if I am looking for a job, they're going to know it. Well, there are ways to get around that. You know, you don't, you have it set so that when you update your profile, it's not notifying everybody. Hey, Deb just updated her profile. Because that is sometimes a dead giveaway. You know, and do think about it strategically. You know, I tell people it's not always wise to connect with your boss anywhere on social media. You know, but it's a personal decision, obviously. But, you know, I remember one time when I was teaching one of my classes, and we were talking, you know, I'm a big proponent of the summary, especially when you are in a job search, because you can use it to tell the story of your career and where you want to be and all those various things. And this woman said, you know, she had loved her job, had been there for many years, great benefits, all those various things, but it just wasn't meeting her needs. So she was, you know, she had updated her LinkedIn profile to say she was, you know, exploring other opportunities. And of course, her boss was one of her LinkedIn connections and called her into the office and said, tell me about this. You know, and she's thinking, okay, now I'm looking for a job right away, right? And when she explained what she wanted, he said, you know, that's great. But is there a reason you don't want to do that here? Because we do have opportunities here. And so she ended up staying with the company. Now, that's kind of an extreme example, but that is part of that internal networking. You know, maybe you shouldn't put it in your summary, but, you know, if you have networked with other people, then you know what's going on. And, you know, again, like you mentioned, you have those champions. You can reach out to them, you know, and obviously it depends on your situation. But, you know, always think about connecting internally with folks that you work with.
Absolutely. And you're exactly right. I would say to the boss, you know, I'm looking for an internal champion. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. Or the other thing, another campaign is a lot of professions have professional organizations. Mm-hmm. And you can say, okay, I'm on the board now of the Society of Human Resources or the American Marketing Association. I need to connect with people. That's the point of my campaign. Mm-hmm. It's a source of protection while also achieving our overall career goals.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's, you know, and we've been doing this for every program, but I just can't hit, you know, on some of these enough. So let's talk about some of the basics, you know, and you mentioned the photo. I'm looking, mm-hmm. it's funny, you know, I got LinkedIn open right now and I'm looking at, you know, some people that I'm not connected with at their profiles. And there is this young woman who is, now she's got typos in her job title. So that's entertaining. And mm-hmm. she is literally full body picture for her LinkedIn profile and she's in a swimming suit.
Oh no.
Now, if she were an athletic trainer or something like that, then maybe that's appropriate. And you know, I'm really hedging on that one because, no, it's not appropriate, folks. But, you know, we see this all the time. And one of the things you mentioned was that, you know, when someone looks at your profile in a job situation, they can see how old you are. They do see your ethnicity, you know, some of these various things. And so that's why some people are hesitant, especially if they're, shall we say, more mature, to put their pictures out there. But why is it so important to have a photo on LinkedIn?
Well, you actually have to have, I mean, you can leave it empty, but it's not best practice and it's not necessary. And the other thing I want, there's a couple things I want, tips I want to give about photos. I really encourage everyone to go get a professional talent headshot, and sometimes you can even get a good one for $150. I know mine were $300 is how much I paid in Cleveland. And even in Chicago, I found one for a client for $150. So it's very possible. You really want them to do changes of clothes so that they can pick. And then also you want them to have a hairstylist and makeup artist. That's how you really know it's a talent headshot photographer. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend it. I know a lot of people won't invest in this, but it makes you feel good too.
Right.
It's pretty shocking the difference it has on your psyche. Mm-hmm. But let's say you won't do that. Okay. The next thing you can do is get the right lighting. And I have some, I actually have a video portion of my class that teaches about good camera lighting and take some photos and then use the program photofeeler.com where people will give you feedback on your picture for very inexpensive to get this feedback and you can understand which profile picture you should be going for. Mm-hmm. So that's another tip I have for people on their photo. It's not whether you should have one or not. Have to have one to have the profile done correctly.
Yeah, the little gray face that is the default. No, folks.
No. And the other thing I'll say is a lot of times you see, man, I saw this so much in Asian cultures and it's fun. Actually, I shouldn't do this, but it's so much fun during my speeches. I search anyway because I'm teaching people how to use it. And we'll scroll through people's profile pictures and I'll ask people, what do you think? And you see a couple things in Asian cultures. First, they like the whiteout background, which is not really best practice anymore.
No.
So, that's one thing is I recommend a background. The next thing is you see a lot of sunglasses, which is also not best practice. You want to see your eyes. It's just inappropriate. It's not Facebook. It's not Instagram. And, obviously, we need to have some type of professional wear. It doesn't have to be a suit with a tie, but something professional. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see people posing with their cars or their friends, and that's not the point of this picture.
Right.
So get the right lighting. Even if you do it at home or out in nature and go out with your friend and try and get some good shots, look up some information on good lighting for cameras. Obviously, the phones now have amazing cameras compared to what they used. And you can still get a good shot that's good enough, but I do recommend a talent headshot if people can feel like they can swing it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the cool things about the LinkedIn app on your phone is it allows you to put filters. I mean, I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Now, okay, folks, we laugh and we joke and that seems fun, but remember you're looking for a job. You know, don't get too artsy. Don't, you know, it did let you do a sepia setting, you know, so, or black and white. Okay. Do that when you have the job, if you want, you know, and I'm saying, yeah, probably maybe not, but you know, when you're looking for a job, your photo in many cases, really, it is truly the first impression that somebody gets of you. So, you know, what are they going to see? I mentioned the fact that sometimes people don't want their picture there because they're more mature. Well, you know, a talented recruiter or headhunter or they're going to figure out your age no matter what. You know, because you might have your education in there. And if you went to college in the 90s, you know, they're going to figure out, you know, how old you are, all those, you know, 80s, whatever. But it doesn't have to be an extreme close up. I mean, you know, you don't have to be able to see every wrinkle and every crinkle. So it can be a little bit further back. But, and it's funny, I'm looking at a couple here again where, I mean, one picture is so tight this woman doesn't have ears. I mean, it's that tightly focused. So, you know, look at your headshot. What are people going to see? You know, you might have the greatest picture in the world, but if it's not in the frame correctly, and I don't like LinkedIn's new thing of doing the thumbnails in circles. I don't like that. But, you know, there are ways to work with things. And you know, it is something that I think you have to have. I mean, I won't connect with anybody if they don't have a picture. I just won't do it. Because to me, that's a sign that they're a troll or, you know, some various things. And so really, I just don't, you know, I'm not gonna link with somebody if they don't have a picture.
Yeah, I agree with you. Your other aspect getting into why you need a picture is because people won't connect with you. Mm-hmm. And they won't do the networking that you need. A lot of people ask me like who they should accept their connections from. And mm-hmm. I say pretty much everyone, except I joke, people laugh at my speeches because I say no stalkers and no strippers. You mm-hmm. do want people that have done some work on their profile and it is professional. And sometimes you will see people that are salespeople that are not ready to add value and network with you. They're just looking to go straight to the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So you may or may not want to connect with those, but there is value in connecting, which we're going to be getting into here mm-hmm. because there's a real value in opening up the level of connections that you have.
Right.
And so sometimes even those are worth connecting with. Mm-hmm. But once again, yeah, no bathing suits, no lingerie, no weird looking people that look like stalkers.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, you mentioned the value of a professional picture, and obviously that is the you know the preferred type of picture. But you know, sometimes you know maybe you're a student, maybe you money is just tight. No selfies, folks. You know, you cannot get the camera at the best angle with a selfie. So, you know, have somebody else take the picture. You know, it's, and we've done those things, where we've been doing a training program and we've actually had someone come in and do pictures of folks. And these are, you know, people who are a little bit lower income, have been off work for a while. So yeah, professional headshots are just not going to work for them. But we have still achieved professional looking pictures. And as you mentioned, it takes just a little bit of work to do it. But yeah, no mm-hmm. selfies, no, you know, I've seen pictures where I'm looking at the young women thinking, and what is it exactly that they're selling here? You know, because they've done a selfie and maybe it's at an angle where the girls are a little highlighted. You know, mm-hmm. some things like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, you want people to look at your picture and go, I could work with that person. I mean, that's ultimately what you're wanting in a job search.
That's right. And, you know, you don't want to do boudoir shots and put
it on. Oh, I know. I'm so glad that those, what was it? There were pictures taken back in the glamour shots. That was it. Where you went in and I'm sure you're too young to remember this, but you went in and paid, you know, and it was not a boudoir shot. But you paid and frequently, you know, they had you wear some cheesy, like leather cowboy hat. And you know, you had, you know, but they put on 900 layers of makeup. You had more hair than, you know, anybody ever is supposed to have. And, you know, but I still see some of those glamour shots on people's profiles every once in a while. But yeah, no, folks, this needs to be your professional image.
Current. Yes.
Yes. And oh, you just mentioned a key word there. Current. I always tell people, if I can't look at your LinkedIn picture and walk up to you in a crowded room, you don't have the right picture. Now, that's a little tricky, especially for us women, because we change hairstyles, we change hair colors, you know, all those various things. But, you know, if they can't look at you and pick you out of a crowd, or, you know, maybe you're meeting somebody at Starbucks to network, all those various things, then you do need a new photo.
That's really true. Yeah. You want to hear while you look just like your photo.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and it shouldn't, one of the other trends that I see, and I love this, and it's typically with men that I see this, is, you know, you look at the picture and I've done this, probably 10 times where I have told them, you know, it's nice that you love this picture. And I know you love this picture because of the feeling that you had that day, but we shouldn't have the picture of you at your wedding. And they're always like, well, how can you tell it's my wedding picture? And I tell them, because you don't wear white silk ties out in the real world. Because they did. They picked a picture that they absolutely loved, and they, you know, it was a great day for them. But again, you know, it's a work photo, people. If you're not going to wear a white silk tie out in the real world, then don't do that.
Right. That's true. You can usually spot wedding photography. It's a certain camera lens, mm-hmm. to everything about it, mm-hmm. looks a certain way. Right. Just like the glamour shot.
Right. Yeah. You know, and again, you know, it's not difficult to get this done, folks. So please, 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 if you don't get anything else out of this, make sure you have a good photo. But moving right along, talk to us about, you know, a couple other really just quick tips before we really delve into some of the meat of this that people need to just, you know, make absolutely sure they have correct in their profiles.
Well, other than the picture, the headline is the next most important thing, because when you send a connection request, mm-hmm. that is what they're going to see in the request, especially when I teach about the campaign. Sometimes we're doing a high volume campaign when we're mm-hmm. not sending a personal note, and we'll talk about when to do that, when not to do that. But mm-hmm. that headline can communicate to the person you're reaching out to almost like a personal message.
Right.
So if I was doing a campaign for an accountant that was looking for a controller position, I would make sure the headline represents the goal position, so that when we're connecting, they'll say, oh yeah, this is, first of all, a professional level colleague that's working at the level that mm-hmm. I work at. I might want to connect because of that. And second of all, oh wow, I'm hiring for that person, mm-hmm. that type of role. And look, this person's literally dropping in my lap.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the tricky thing is that the headline is by default, your most current job title. So you have to go in and change that, people, you know, and add to it. Let me look here real quick at Karen's, because it is, of course, a great example. So Karen's professional titles, or, you know, professional headline says Director of Outsourcing, Author of Stacked, Certified Advanced LinkedIn Trainer. Right there, it, you know, many, many things about Karen. And, you know, so many people leave it to the default, or they don't put anything. I love those people. Or they get cute with it. I like the people who get cute with it and try and say, you know, I'm your friend for life, or I'll be your lead salesperson. No, that's not what goes there.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned this, because I don't know how you feel about this, Deb, but there was a huge movement towards branding. Mm-hmm. And the problem I have with branding is not the true concept of it, but what people believe it is. People want the person to accept their brand, even if the brand doesn't match what's being hired for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I have a problem with the branding movement. Is you may brand yourself in a way that no one would hire you.
Right.
So
and
we
especially
always,
if you're being cutesy or something like that.
Yeah. Like, okay, this, my one client is such a great example of this, because he really wants to be a speaker, and he wants to be this IT evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
The job that he's applying for is actually a partnership sales, a channel management.
Mm-hmm.
If he pitches himself from this speaker IT evangelism perspective, they're not going to hire him for those roles. So we have to make sure we are matching our campaign goals.
Mm-hmm.
Don't brand yourself in a way that doesn't match the market need or the job that you're applying for.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and I've had people who have done exactly what you were talking about, and they have broken every rule, because then what they do is they create two profiles. One for what, and I'm like, oh no, danger, danger, Will Rogers, danger, danger. Because it comes back to exactly what you were saying. You know, when somebody searches for you online, you know, if I were to find multiple profiles for one person, that's really confusing. And, you know, and I'm thinking, well, which one are they? And why, you know, it's so many red flags. And one of the things that you point out many times, and it's because it's so important in your book, is the fact that people are looking for ways to eliminate you from the job search. You know, so don't give them reasons to look at it and go, well, wait a minute, how come this person has three LinkedIn profiles?
That's right. And there's another thing, because believe me, I did do trials on this to see, because we aren't only one thing. And often when I do a campaign, I do it for three different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But LinkedIn has a natural algorithm function that tries to figure out who you should be connecting with. And it confuses your connections, because mm-hmm. they're getting multiple connection requests if you run two profiles. It's very confusing to the market. You really cannot run two LinkedIn profiles at the same time. Technically, right. You can do it. Mm-hmm. Technically, you could create as many as you want with as many different emails. But
well, it's actually against their terms of service. But what, you know, because they say that each person should only have one. But you're right. If you use different email addresses, that's how people are able to create more than one profile.
Right. Technically, it's possible. Obviously, it's not the right thing for LinkedIn, and it's really not the right thing for you or your connections because it's very confusing.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that let's really jump into the meat of this now, because this is your expertise. This is the training that you do. And, you know, one of the things, and you mentioned it right there, and I want to deal with this because this is confusing. What happens to someone who is applying for multiple positions? You know, because we're always told, you know, when you're doing a resume, tailor it for that specific job that you have just applied for. Well, that doesn't really work on LinkedIn because you might have applied for 10, 15, 20 jobs. You know, so how do you develop it, your profile, so it's generic but specialized? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not even sure how to even, you know, because okay. It is hard for somebody who's looking at multiple positions.
So I do create what I call a composite character.
Okay.
And what that will be is, instead of focusing on title, so I might do sales leader. Let's take this one as an example. Say, mm-hmm. Sales leadership, channel management. I'll choose three industries that we're targeting, or three different types of sales products, mm-hmm. and have that in there. So I do generalize or create a composite image mm-hmm. of our three goal campaigns. Another thing that you can do, depending on your job transition, is break up your roles.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you want to do this, sometimes you don't. But if I want to target channel manager and I also want to target sales territory manager, or, you know, like these different things, I might break up roles if there's not enough job transitions to target.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately or fortunately, depends on how you look at it, the LinkedIn search is very keyword driven towards the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's what its focus is. So we need our keywords to appear in the title. And we also need to make sure the rank.
Mm-hmm.
So the VP, is a director, is it manager? This is getting into a lot of detail, but.
Right. And folks, what I really want to make sure that I emphasize, I'm just going to jump in here real quick, is in, Karen's book, she has all of this in great detail and yeah. worksheets to work through. So that's why we're just going to do kind of a high level thing. But okay, so there, I put in my little pitch. Okay, back we go.
That's because we're getting into some serious nitty gritty, but mm-hmm. that is one way. But sometimes I will want to actually, not have the roles broken out and actually have one person, because there might be a really likely role, or there might be one that matches
mm-hmm.
their campaign, matches their interest more. And I will just go for the kill on that one
mm-hmm.
and create a composite image towards that. So it does depend. And sometimes we have to rotate our profile.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
campaign is a marketing campaign. So we have to test it. We have to AD test it, and we'll run it for a few weeks. We'll see what types of hits we're getting. If it's resulting in what we want, then we keep going.
Mm-hmm.
If not, we might rotate it out and try the next campaign, which is what I call the core three in the book.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned something that I really want to make sure that we talk about, because it is so important, and that's keywords. Mm-hmm. You know, what are keywords, and why are they so absolutely critical in someone's LinkedIn profile?
So keywords are the primary things that the recruiter is going to search for. And in LinkedIn, that is, we need our keywords in our title somewhere, preferably, so that we surface higher
mm-hmm.
in the algorithm results. The searching for a job is the same thing as search engine optimization. So when you put in your keywords in Google, it has an artificial intelligence that tries to guess at what you're searching for, and it produces a result.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get good Google. Our names do, but it's not like you're going to Google, you know, director of sales and get good results.
Right, because you're going to get 1,100 gazillion.
That's right. And it's the same thing with LinkedIn, Indeed, ZipRecruiter. They're Googling those titles and getting thousands of results. So we have to make sure that then they're going to narrow down. They're going to narrow down by geography. They're going to narrow down by additional keywords. Maybe if they're looking for a CFO, they want a CPA and they didn't put that in there initially. So if they get 10,000 results, they're going to add a keyword. What keyword are they going to add? We need to know what those are. We need to figure that out and be predictive about it.
Right.
So yeah, that's the keyword.
Well, and you know, in your book, you obviously talk about ways to develop those keywords. But I love the fact that you refer to other programs like Indeed.com and Monster. You know, I have not been in the job market for many years because I've owned my own company. But, you know, these, especially Indeed, you know, definitely new to me. But it's one of the top job search places now. And so, you know, one of the things that we really want to emphasize is the fact that what you put on LinkedIn then transitions to these other sites. But you can also use them to research things. And you talk about salary, you know, and we won't go, you know, if we have time, we'll go into detail on that. But, you know, you can research other things on those sites that then you can use in your LinkedIn profile.
Yes. Indeed is actually in some ways more important than LinkedIn in the sense that it is an aggregator. It pulls jobs from multiple websites. So you can get better hits and do better research. And also you can post your resume on there, which you'll want to do. And recruiters use it all the time. The difference between Indeed and LinkedIn from a recruiter's perspective is in LinkedIn, you'll have a lot of people that have profiles that are not necessarily searching for a job right now. So they're not raising their hand, as they say. On Indeed, if someone put their resume in there at some point, they're looking for a job. They're saying, yeah, I'm a job candidate. So if I'm a recruiter and I have a certain amount I'm spending to find my candidate, I might go to Indeed first, see if I can get my candidate there because they're raising their hands. They're saying I am looking. And if I can find the match to my role, then it's cheaper to do that than to do a passive search. But you want to do both. Okay. You want to have both.
Right. You know, and again, those keywords are what you want in your professional headline, and you want them right at the start. You know, because I'm looking, so I'm on my page and I'm looking at the people you may know suggestions from LinkedIn, and it doesn't list their whole professional headline here. So I might miss those keywords if they're, and you only have 120 characters to do this. So it gets a little bit tricky, but you know, like this one person, you know, their profile says, are you a busy entrepreneur? And then, you know, everything else is cut off. So, okay, why would that interest me? Founder, and you know, and then things get cut off. So have those keywords front and center so that people see them right away, because again, they're looking for ways to eliminate people. So you want to do everything you can to get somebody to go, oh, good golly, we have to talk to this person.
That's right. Yes. You want your summary is your next line of defense for making sure all your keywords are there. And then also adding keywords to your job titles. You don't want to go overboard. Sometimes even people who read my book sometimes get crazy with this. And there's so many keywords in the job title that it's too much. So there needs to be a balance in there. And then also you can add certifications to your last name in your profile. So if you're an MBA, a CPA, LEED certified, Six Sigma, you can add that to your last name, and it's also front and center, and it also shows up on your connection request because it's your name.
Right. So I'm looking at someone right here who's her name and then PhD. And so I'm thinking, woo, okay. Yeah.
But you don't want alphabet soup, so you want to choose what is the most important thing for my campaign. If I'm going for a CFO, I know a CPA is the most important thing after my name. And I wouldn't want to add more than that. So pick one.
Right. And again, don't get cute with it, because that is something that LinkedIn will nail you on. You know, don't put your email address there. Don't make up some type of title certification type of thing. You know, it's supposed to be your name. And I believe they LinkedIn uses the term professionally recognized. designations. So PhD, CPA, you know, MD, you know, whatever, all of those are, you know, don't make something up. And really don't make something up, because people will look at it and go, we don't know what that means. And if they don't know what it means, then it doesn't interest them.
Right.
So, okay, the one of the absolute most critical things, you know, so you've got your great LinkedIn profile. It's got every keyword in it that you can have. You know, well, we shouldn't say that, but, you know, because like you said, we shouldn't stuff it with keywords. But it's nothing if you don't have a lot of connections. You know, and it's interesting because LinkedIn used to like 200 connections. You used to say that was kind of the sweet spot. Now it's about 500 because, right, you know, when you look at the profile, it says 500 plus, you know, then, you know, and you can have 30,000 folks. That's not, you know, no, you know, that's really not something that you're aiming for. But connections really are the meat and potatoes of this, because if you don't have connections, you really don't have anything. So talk to us about the importance of connections and how people really should be developing those.
This is where the Advanced LinkedIn Campaign and where the difference in my book, I feel comes in, because yes, we can talk about creating the profile, but it's using LinkedIn in a way that they don't talk about themselves as a company. Mm-hmm. That's how it makes a difference. Okay. The magic button on LinkedIn is actually the magnifying glass in the top left. This is where all the magic happens. And what you do is you click on that and it creates a drop down. They actually just changed this because you used to have to click twice, but mm-hmm. now it asks for jobs, people, and I think companies. I have to look, but we want people. And when we go to the people, mm-hmm. there's two things. If a person has not done any connecting yet, like if they really, they're totally new mm-hmm. and they don't have a lot of connections, the first thing you're going to want to do is load up your emails, which is an option on the left, more options on finding people. The reason you want to do this, because you might say, oh my gosh, I don't want my personal connections. People can get kind of weird about this. There's two reasons you want to do this. From strictly a campaign perspective, where it's a means to an end. One is, if you start connecting with people that you don't know, they may mark that they don't know you. Mm-hmm. If many people do that at one time, LinkedIn will flag your account right. and shut you down for a couple of days.
You get penalized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll be called, what the recruiters call, being put in jail.
Right. Because it looks like you're spamming.
Yes. And it just, they initially, and you pointed this out, Deb, LinkedIn wanted you only to connect with people you know. Well, that's not how you grow a network. So right. it's all kind of corny that was their initial goal. But okay. So the funny part is that LinkedIn rewards you for more connections. So the way they set up their system actually defeats what they said their original goal.
Right.
So we go into people. You want to load up your emails because those people are going to say, yes, I know you. And you have the option to deselect people. So not like you have
right.
to send everything.
You can, you know, pick out your first cousin, you know.
Mm-hmm. If you want, but I want people to be liberal at this stage because mm-hmm. that person's going to say yes. You're going to get more connections. And here's the key, Deb. Everyone who says yes to you, all of their first degree connections become second degree connections to you.
Right.
So you start opening up a universe of connections. And when I do speaking events internationally, like I was just in France, and I actually had a student who was actually from Malawi. Mm-hmm. So he's African, but in France, and he had done an internship with an organization in Africa who I had no connections with. When I looked, I had no first degree or second degree or third degree connections with this company. Mm-hmm. The moment I connected with him, Deb, which I did right in front of everybody, once the connection was accepted, I refreshed my screen. And I had over 200 potential connections that I could connect with at that organization.
Right.
Just from his connection. Mm-hmm. So what I need people to understand is that they're opening up a universe of connections. And they're also creating a positive pattern of behavior with LinkedIn that says, I'm connecting with, you know, people aren't rejecting my connection request. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the first, what I call the first degree campaign, like where you're getting connected with the people that you know or the people of the people that you know. We do this twice. So if someone is not at the 500 threshold, the next thing they do is do a second degree quick connect campaign. Mm-hmm. And people tend to accept your profile campaign, even if they don't know you, because they see they're connected to someone else that they do know.
Right.
So LinkedIn will tell them, hey, you guys share these connections in common. And Deb, I haven't looked at ours yet because we just connected, but we have the potential of 50 to 100, maybe more mm-hmm. connections. So if you reach out to me, number one, I look at, okay, does she have a professional profile? Oh, she's a podcaster. She's a female business owner. I mean, this is the type of person I connect with. Mm-hmm. So I might connect with you just on that. But then I'll look and say, what of our co-connections? Oh, we have 100 co-connections. This mm-hmm. is someone I should be connected with.
Right.
Even if I've never met you or talked to you, it's going to verify that you're a professional that deserves to have my connection type mm-hmm. of thing. People make those judgment calls all the time when they're right. connecting.
Well, and so, I always tell people, it's not always important who you're connected to, but it's who your connections are connected to.
Yes. And to open that up, you have to get connected. So I really want people to get over this concept of connecting with people they don't know or that they're unsure of, because we need to open up your universe of connections.
Right.
So you and I have 3 shared connections.
Which I was kind of surprised we didn't have more.
I know. I'm kind of surprised we have a lot more. But if that's still enough for me, I would connect with you anyway, because sure. you have a professional profile. And if you're a professional, I'll connect with you. Mm-hmm. But just looking at who we're co-connected with, I'll be like, oh, we have 3 connections. I mean, yeah, we're dancing in the same sandbox or whatever you want.
Right. And, you know, if I look at somebody and we don't have any mutual connections, I mean, I have 3,214 connections right now. So if I don't have a mutual connection with somebody, it's not that I'm suspicious, but I'm going to check them out more. You know, but the funny thing is, if I look at somebody that, you know, and it's funny, I don't have any pending requests right now, so I can't look. But, you know, if somebody has, say, 140, you know, if I have 140 mutual connections with somebody, then bam, I'm just going to immediately connect with them. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, 5 or 6, then I'll look, you know, but yeah, it's that whole not guilt by association. What would be the positive of that? but if we have a lot of mutual connections, then I go, oh, okay, well, this is a trustworthy person that I really should be connecting with.
Now here's where it gets fun. So we've done our job. We've done some initial connections. And, you know, hopefully gotten over the 500 threshold, which we want to, because we want to look like we're a connected person to the market. Now I want to determine what I want to do. So let's say, Deb, that I'm in Cleveland, been in Clevelander all my life, mm-hmm. but let's say I want to find a job in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. My connection with you, because you live there, is now going to open up more connections in Atlanta.
Right.
So if I'm looking for a job there, that is going to facilitate me finding more people down there to network with. Mm-hmm. And, or I could say, okay, maybe you're a podcaster and you're attached to a lot of podcasters. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to open up this universe of connections of podcasters. So I want people to be thinking about the deeper campaign, which is usually by industry, location, mm-hmm. or professional title. So another thing that may have opened up is the concept of recruiters. So I have a new candidate, he's not new, he's new to Chicago, and he has the potential to connect with 500 recruiters in Chicago.
Wow.
Based on all the connecting that we've been doing. Mm-hmm. And out of those 500, so I don't know if you ever teach sales rules, but you usually get about a 4% hit. Mm-hmm. So if I sent out his campaign, and here's where we get into whether to send a professional message or not. Here's 2 different ways to do it. There are third-party recruiters and recruiters that work in the company. Mm-hmm. Say he applied to PepsiCo. I'm just making up something here. He may want to connect with recruiters that exist or that work at inside of PepsiCo and say, send a personal message with his connection request and say, hey, I applied for this job. I'm very interested in the organization. Would you be willing to network with me about it? Mm-hmm. That's one. You can also do that on a peer level, meaning let's say he's trying to get into the marketing department. Let's see if we can connect the marketing people and kind of bypass the gatekeeper mm-hmm. and work past the recruiter. The third thing we can do, though, is I have 500 recruiters I can connect him with. Of those 500, if I've got his profile picture right and I've got his headline right, they may be sitting on a job right now that is he's qualified for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the rule of the 4%, that usually you get about 4% hit on your, so that would be about 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the camp. So I want to do that because maybe I can get, no, it'd be 20. Mm-hmm. So I want to see if I can get 20 recruiters that might be willing to network with him about his background or might be sitting on a job right now.
Right.
That's worth sending a non-messaged one. You mm-hmm. get the profile picture right, you get the headline right, you connect with all these recruiters and see what happens.
Right. You know, and then be active. You know, we've mentioned that before. So make sure that you're updating it. You know, did you have a new project at work that you can add? You know, always be linking to articles or writing articles. You know, I want to see, especially depending on what you do, what is your thought process? You know, and we, holy cow, you know, we've only got a couple minutes left and so much more to talk about. So we'll just have to have you on again. You know, if you're wanting to change careers, then link to articles about that new career so that people are seeing that you're current with that industry, you know, all these various things. Because part of the search feature, you know, just real quick and dirty here is, you know, when somebody's searching, it brings people up also by how active they are. So the more active you are on LinkedIn, the higher you come up in those searches. You know, and, you know, so if somebody, you know, looks up something and you're in the top, you know, we laugh on Google. We don't go past the first one or two pages of the search. Same thing happens on LinkedIn, people. You know, if you don't come up really in like the top 20, top 50, depending on what somebody's looking for, then they don't care. They're not going to find you. So you have to do everything you possibly can to be found. And you know, holy schmoly, we only have a couple of minutes left. So, quick, fast, one tip that everybody absolutely has to do. Tell us what you think.
They need to start getting connected. I mean, obviously they need to get their headshot right. They need to get their headline right so that when they send out a connection request, people want to connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I need them to go to Magnifying Glass, go to people, load up their emails and start connecting and determine what their campaign is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And start networking in their location or in their profession and in their field.
Mm-hmm.
That is what needs to happen for LinkedIn to be effective. And I agree, it can keep going from there.
Right.
Very effectively, yes.
You know, and a couple things that we didn't even get to touch on that are in your book that people may be very interested in. You know, what happens if you want to relocate? Another key thing is paid or free. Always, 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 folks, try the free version first. And that will work virtually every time. Don't pay for the LinkedIn premium services unless you feel you absolutely have to. You know, LinkedIn is geared towards the free. You know, they're not going to limit it so much that you have to pay for it. So, you know, always go with free as you know, as much as you possibly can. Holy schmoly. Yeah, we didn't even, there's so many other things that we didn't get covered, but we are out of time, Karen. So tell people how they find you and connect with you online.
Okay, they can go to KarenGurney.com. It's KarenGurney.com. And they can purchase my book. My book also comes, it's available on Amazon, but also all the other retailers, Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the book is a free link to my class. So when you buy my book, you get my epic 6-hour course
mm-hmm.
inside of it, which has templates. It has all the video tutorials on how to do the campaign on their own. So you really get 2-for-1 on the book. And then you can not only communicate with me as a student, but I encourage everyone who is either reading my book or in my class to connect with me on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I respond to every single person. If they want a profile review, if they want to check in, they have a question, I'm on LinkedIn there and I'm ready to help everyone achieve their career goals.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I am Deb Creer. I've been having an absolutely fascinating time talking about LinkedIn with Dr. Karen Gurney. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us next time for more real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.